If you have the Word of God with you this morning, if you'll be turning to the book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1. We began this a few weeks ago, the series we've entitled Moving to Maturity or Toward Maturity. I said in Sunday school, and I've already mentioned it in this meeting, this has been a difficult week for me. Sometimes the weight of the world seems to be overbearing. And it's amazing how the Lord just works things out. You who know me and have been here any time at all, you know I preach through series all the time. Very rarely do I break away from a series. And I'll tell you, I have struggled this week. It's been a hard week for me. But it was almost as if the Lord was saying, all right, you want to preach it, now let's practice it. It's easy to preach. Let's see if you can practice it. Every time I preach through the book of James, this happens. I should know better than that. But the Lord knows, amen? And so we're going to consider another thought. And remember, keep in mind, just to review a little bit, he sets the scene here. He lays the groundwork in talking about patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And, of course, we know how that comes about. The Bible said in verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so patience don't come easy. Maturity doesn't happen just at the snap of a finger. There's a process involved. And, of course, he said there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. There are times we're going through situations and times in our lives that we don't have the answer. What are we to do? We're to pray for wisdom. And God gives wisdom. But we're going to pick this back up in verse number 6. And keep in mind there in verse 5, he said, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I want us to consider verse number 6 as our text verse today, and I've pulled two words out of that verse as the title of the message. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. In American Sign Language, and it's amazing to me, over the years since I've been in the ministry, the Lord has allowed several people that cannot hear to be in our church or involved in our ministry. It's amazing to me. I had a young man out in Missouri. His name was Jimmy. And he and his mother began to come to our church. He was could not hear. And so many years ago, I found a gospel presentation in pictures. And I was able to take that little presentation to his home and lead Jimmy to the Lord with those pictures. He could read, but he could not hear. And so I presented that to him, and he trusted Christ as his Savior there in his home. And we've had several over the years that could not hear. We've got some over the years that couldn't see. But American Sign Language, the sign for please is made with the right hand over the heart and going in a circular motion clockwise. That's please. I think that's interesting. It's amazing to me that when we say please to God, we're asking Him for something. But we need to ask from our heart. And we need to believe it in our heart. You see, the fifth verse of James chapter 1 there ends with this phrase, let him ask and it shall be given him. And that's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise regarding the availability of divine wisdom to those who will simply ask God for it. But in verse 6, then James adds to this the qualifications to this invitation. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That word wavering means, or it has the idea of doubt, doubting. And in this passage here, James teaches us that while we have an open invitation to ask God for the things that we need, if our request is sent in the envelope of doubt, it'll not be answered. You see, when we doubt God, note this, and you need to remember this, when we doubt God, we doubt His Word. Let me say that again. When we doubt God, we doubt His Word. And when we doubt His Word, we cripple our prayers before they ever leave our mouth. You see, wavering prayer is worthless prayer because it questions the very God to whom the request is being made. Let me say that again. Wavering prayer is wasted or worthless prayer because it questions the very God to whom it's addressed. You've heard the expression, all of us in this room have heard this expression, give me the benefit of doubt. But someone changed that and said this, give me the benefit of your convictions, if you have any, but keep your doubts to yourself, for I have enough of my own. Keep them to yourself, amen? You see, many people have enough doubts of their own. However, because of doubt, we can be paralyzed, or our abilities can be paralyzed to pray, and they're seriously dangerous to the Christian life. And if the reason that James gives us the warning in this passage before us, we should not be wavering. Look again at verses 6 through 8. I want you to notice with me some things here that James teaches us about doubt and the dangers that they pose to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us today. And certainly we all need this. I've needed it all week. And again, it's as if the Lord was saying, hey, you want to preach it? You better learn to practice it. And I think He'll say that to all of us. You want to preach it, you better learn to practice it. It's easy to say, have faith in God. Boy, that's an easy statement to make. Have faith in God. Everybody in this room would say amen to that. Have faith in God. It's another thing to practice it. Quite another thing. May God teach us the things that He needs to teach us today. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I stand amazed how that You bring to things to pass in our life that proves to us that You're God. And Lord, all of us would agree with the fact we're to have faith in You. But Lord, saying that and actually doing that is two different things. I pray today You'd teach us the things we need to learn. Lord, I understand I am very weak, feeble, frail. I have nothing to offer. I'm completely dependent upon You, so I pray that You'd pick us up as a tool or an instrument in Your hand and use us for Your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to say things that need to be said, pass over things that are not relevant. Lord, I pray that You might lodge deeply in our heart the truths of Your Word. May our minds be open and our hearts willing to obey You today. And Lord, I pray that You would do a work in such a fashion that only You could gain the credit for it. And Lord, again, I pray that You would help us to learn these lessons that You have for us today. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to give you two or three things from this that I hope will be a help. I know it's been a help to me this week. I want to say, first of all, that doubts arise from our indecision. Doubts arise from our indecision. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That word wavering in this verse is a very interesting verse. Again, it has the idea of someone coming to God without the ability to discern or to decide. It speaks here, the word wavering, of indecision. I read one time, it's been many years ago, of a two-headed turtle that was born. And this two-headed turtle starved to death. And they began to do some testing and examination, and they said the reason this two-headed turtle starved to death, it couldn't decide which mouth to feed. Indecision cost the turtle its life. And I want to say this morning, indecision will do a number of damaging things in our life as Christians. The indecision here that James described in this verse is often the source of doubt in the life of a Christian, and it can lead to a sad and a feeble Christian experience. I want you to notice a couple of things about this that James teaches us about this indecision and the doubts that it creates. First of all, notice the spiritual problem of a doubter. The spiritual problem of a doubter. This word, wavering in verse 6, paints a picture of someone who's hesitant and someone who's unable to make a clear and distinct decision. One writer explained it this way as hesitation which goes back and forth between faith and unbelief. The person who is wavering is having a battle in their mind. He's struggling within himself about what he truly believes. You see, the spiritual problem of a doubter is that they can't make a decision to fully believe what God has said in His Word. Let's be honest about that. We can't fully agree, we can't fully stand on what God has said in His Word. They want to believe His promises, and at times they seem to do so. But then when they look at their circumstances and they crunch the numbers, then they consider the odds and they begin to waver. Ever been there? Every one of us have. Every one of us have. We begin to waver. When we were in elementary school, I remember a story that we were told about a boy. He was the father of this country. His name was George Washington. Most of you have heard this story. George Washington chopped down his father's cherry tree. And when confronted, young George Washington supposedly said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my little hatchet." Now, we all know probably what was going through his mind. It's the same thing that goes through our mind. Should I or shouldn't I? You know, the Bible tells us over in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, that God cannot lie. The Bible says, the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now, if God cannot lie, then can't we be settled on His promises? Again, it never ceases to amaze me how the Lord puts things together. The first song we sang today, Standing on the Promises. I didn't ask them to sing that song. I never know what we're singing until I get up here and see this paper. The first song we sang, Standing on the Promises. The second song we sang was To God Be the Glory. Well, those two songs go hand in hand, don't they? The choir sang Because He Lives. And the last song we sang was Higher Ground. Isn't that amazing how the Lord put all that together? That's amazing to me. And then at the offering, she plays It Is Well With My Soul. Wow. Why do we stumble and wave at His promises? The spiritual problem of a doubter is that they not only doubt the Word of God, or at times they stand on the promises, but at other times they doubt the Word of God. They're not completely sure that God has told them the truth. They wouldn't dare call God a liar. No one in this room would dare call God a liar. And yet their heart, or in their heart, they waver between believing Him and doubting Him. I want you to notice something else about this. Not only the spiritual problem of a doubter, but notice here the sad picture of a doubter. In verse 6, James here states that this individual is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. James, no doubt, had seen his share of storms. You know, most of those disciples were fishermen. They understood what it was like to be in a vessel out on the water when a storm came up. I was watching something, it's been some time ago. I like to watch nature type shows, and these guys were out there. It's called, I think, the Dangerous Catch or something. I don't know. They're catching crabs. This boat got in a bad storm. And the pilot of the boat, these deckhands were out there doing this, and he said, "Take cover, here's a wave." And I'm telling you, there was I don't know how much water come over the side of that boat, knocked this one guy down. They thought it knocked him out. James understood something about waves and storms, and he begins to liken this doubter unto an individual that's like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And that's the picture that James used to describe the life of a person who wavers in their trust of God. They're as shifty as a sea-blown wave in the sea. Wavering. That word wave's an interesting word as well. We've looked at the word wavering. But that word wave is an interesting word. It doesn't speak of just the normal tide. It speaks here about waves that's created by the blowing wind. A few years ago, I was fishing out on a boat, and it was very rough. Most of the time when I'm out on that particular boat, it's smooth sailing. He's been there a long time, and he knows what's going on. And this particular time, we were in a different boat. His boat was broke down, and we were going out to fish, and he said, "It's going to be a little choppy to begin with." Well, that was an understatement. It was more than a little choppy. It was so bad, I had my dad with me, it was so bad it threw him out of his seat into the floor. I mean, it was bad. And I'll not get too graphic, but there was folks that got sick. Very sick. As a matter of fact, they got so sick, the pilot decided it would be best if we went back and gave everybody a voucher. I mean, just the wind was blowing and the waves were stirring. You see, the person who doubts God and who is indecisive about trusting Him is a person who never seems to have any calm in their life. You've seen them. They seem to have no calm in their life. Everything's always being tossed around, and the peace that they could enjoy is not being enjoyed at all. Why is that? Because they doubt. Again, you cannot say it is well with my soul when the sorrows like a sea billows roll if you're not trusting in the promises of God. By the way, that's a line out of the song she played for the offering. When seas like a billows roll. By the way, that's going to happen. Every one of us are going to go through stormy waters. Everyone is going to go through those storms in life. And it's nice to be able to say, "It is well." How can we say that? Standing on the promises. You see, the Bible is a note to all of God's children. It says, trust your Father. Trust your Father. During the 2000 Masters golf tournament, several people noticed a piece of paper that was attached to Vijay Singh's golf bag. And it turned out to be a note that helped Singh win that 2000 Masters tournament. It was a note from his son, at that time was 10 years old. And the note was a very simple note. It says, "Papa, trust your swing." And the note that God gives us, trust your Father. Trust your Father. I want you to notice second truth here that James gives us in this text. Not only the doubt that doubts arise from our indecisions, but secondly, see here, doubts account for our ineffectiveness. Doubts account for our ineffectiveness. You see, James can never be accused of soft-pedaling the truth. You read the book of James, you better gear up. Because James hits it head on. He doesn't sidestep it and doesn't take a backdoor approach. James hits the truth head on. He can never be accused of soft peddling the truth. And I want you to notice what he says here in verse number 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, that's pretty blunt. As a matter of fact, we'd say that's pretty rude. But it's the truth. James says, don't let that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. That's a very straightforward verse. And it connects doubt to our inability to accomplish anything in prayer. In other words, James here states that the man that doubts the word of God for his life will not see the work of God in his life. You need to remember that. You doubt the word of God in your life and you'll not see the work of God in your life. I want you to notice a couple of things here that we draw from this verse. First of all, we see it's a very clear word. We're tempted to believe that God will give us credit at times just for simply asking Him. Even when we're not sure that He can or will give us that which we're requesting. You know, so often we pray with the mindset that it doesn't hurt to ask. Amen? Now, am I telling you the truth? A lot of times when we pray, we have this idea, well, it's not going to hurt to ask. But may I say, that's not going to get the job done. The problem is when we pray that way, we're not really believing that God's going to answer, but hoping that maybe to our surprise, He will. James tells us that doubt and faith are counterforces, and that if we pray with doubts in our heart, we should not expect God to respond to our prayers. Note this illustration, if you would, over in the book of Mark. You may turn there if you'd like. Mark chapter number 9. Now all of us have been where this man is in this story. In Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17, the Bible says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. How many has a son in the room today? Okay. Put yourself in this man's place. He says, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. He's demon possessed. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. This is a pretty difficult situation. Will we not agree? This man has a son that's demon-possessed, and this demon is causing this young man to harm and injure his body. Foam at the mouth. I was refereeing a football game. It's been several years ago at Giles County. I don't know if everybody in Giles County is this way, but this particular young man, when I was flipping the coin out on the center of the field, was foaming at the mouth. I said to the other captains that was standing by him, I said, is this man all right? They said, he acts like that all the time. I said, he's probably got rabies. This young man was foaming at the mouth, harming himself. And this man no doubt had great desire for this boy to be taken care of. And so he goes to the disciples and they can't help him. And so he comes to the Lord. And he says in verse 19, he answereth him and say, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Now we don't know how old this young man is, but he's had this a while. Verse 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You ever prayed that way? Lord, if you can do something, please do so. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not a good prayer to pray, because he can do something. Lord, if you can, please help. Well, he can help. Notice what happens. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You see, we can pray, Lord, help thou my unbelief, but we cannot pray, Lord, overlook my unbelief. We all doubt at times, but we need the Lord to help us with that. I said, I mean, this is so, without going into a greater number of details, this spoke to my heart so much this week. As if the Lord was saying, hey, do you trust me or not? Do you trust me or not? You say you do. You get up in the pulpit and say that. Do you or not? And I had to say, Lord, help my unbelief. We all get there. We all get there. We should never expect God to overlook our unbelief. We should ask the Lord to help us with our unbelief. You see, the clear teaching of the Word of God is that a prayer infected with doubt will be ignored by God. He'll not answer those half-hearted requests. Well, Lord, I don't know if you can or not, but it'd be nice if you would. Really? You know why we think that way? We doubt His Word. And when we doubt His Word, we'll not see His work. A few years ago, someone got irritated with me for not answering their phone calls. I don't do that. If I'm not at the phone, I call back. But a few years ago, and it's not here, it was out in Missouri, someone got irritated with me for not answering their phone calls. And of course, the phone I had at that time and the phone I've got now, it keeps a record of every call that comes into my phone. And I began to look, and I hadn't missed a single call from this individual. And so I contacted this individual and said, I understand you're a little irritated because I hadn't taken your call. I said, my phone hasn't showed you called. I said, what number are you calling? And he had transcribed two numbers. He wasn't calling my phone at all. There's no wonder I hadn't taken his call. My phone never rang. And may I say, I said that to say this, to call on God with doubt in our heart is equivalent to dialing the wrong number. To call on God with doubt in our heart is equivalent to dialing or calling the wrong number. James here clearly teaches us that we should not expect the Lord to answer a doubting prayer. You see, God's number begins with faith, not doubt. Notice secondly, not only is it a clear word, it's a convicting word. Notice again, if you would, in verse number 7, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You see, I want you to notice, if we're praying with wavering hearts of doubt, James says that we'll not receive anything from the Lord. And in light of truth, if we're living a Christian life in which we're not seeing God answer our prayers, we got to ask ourselves whether or not we're wavering in our trust for Him. I've heard it said, and I still believe this, that God answers prayer in three ways: yes, no, and wait. I believe that. But I'm thinking sometimes the no is because we're praying with doubt. I know God's not going to answer every prayer because He knows it's not best for me. I still rest on the fact that God's way is perfect. Paul prayed several times, three times, that God would take that infirmity away from him. And then he learned something, that God's grace was sufficient. I understand there's going to be times that we pray and God says no, and he says no for our benefit. But there are times that God says no because of our doubt. May God help us to have wisdom to understand that. I know there are those days, and they're here today, or those here today who teach that you can have just enough faith to get what God wants for you. I'm not talking about that mindset. That charismatic mindset, I'm not any part of. I'm not talking about that. But I'm simply saying we've got, and when we pray, to have faith in God. You see, if you trust God today but doubt Him tomorrow, James says that's the reason you're not seeing prayers answered in your life. And there's not an individual in this room that would ever admit it, but people feel like their prayer life at times is ineffective because something's wrong on God's end. He's not listening, or He's not willing to answer our requests. And the truth of the matter is, it's not a problem on His end. The problem lies with the one doing the requesting. In verse 7, we're convicted with the truth. My heart's been convicted this week. We're convicted with the truth that much of our ineffectiveness is because we doubt in our heart. There's a third truth that we see in this text this morning. Not only do we see here and notice that doubts arise from our indecision, and that doubts account for our ineffectiveness, but also I want you to notice a third thing here, and that's doubts attest to our instability. Doubts attest to our instability. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, lest you think that doubts and wavering are only an issue when it comes time to pray, James reassures us and tags verse 8 and says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Not just at prayer time, but in all of his ways. You see, the dangers of doubts is greater than just an influence on our prayer life. The idea here is of someone who thinks or believes two different ways. It reminds us again of the character, if you've read the story, Pilgrim's Progress. It reminds us of the story, or this character in that story, Mr. Facing Both Ways. If you've ever read that story, or if you've never read that story, you ought to read it. That's an allegory. But it reminds us of the character in that story of Mr. Facing Both Ways. You see, when we teeter between faith and unbelief, doubting the Word of God, we're like a double-minded man who knows and believes God and yet does not. You see, this type of double-minded individual, this double-mindedness, this life is a terrible ride to be on. Each day, there's a tug of war going on in our heart and mind, and a torture to the Christian life. Far too many Christians say that God is good one day and think that He's gone the next. Ever been there? These individuals are unstable, unsettled, and unsure, and resulting in unhappy. You see, when your Christian life is like riding a roller coaster rather than running a race, James says that the root of that instability is a double-minded doubt. Again, we've all been there. We've all asked why. We've all begin to wonder, Lord, if... By the way, we should never pray with if. understanding if it's the Lord's will, we can say that. But we should never say, Lord, if you can, because he can do all things. I want you to notice a couple of things and I'll finish. We see, first of all, the reach of this instability. Notice that he doesn't say that a double-minded man is just unstable in his prayer life. Read it again if you would. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He doesn't say that a double-minded man is unstable in his prayer life. No, the doubt that derails his prayer life also destabilizes every aspect of his life. You may think that doubting God and struggling to believe his word will only hinder your ability to pray. James says that a double-minded man's whole life is hindered by that condition. Let me ask this morning, is there instability in your home? Is there instability in your marriage? Is there instability in maybe friendships? Do you feel like your commitments in your life are up and down, hot and cold? The Word of God teaches us that in this text that our unwillingness to just simply believe God and His Word has the effect of unsettling every single aspect of our life. Some of you remember this. Back in 2004, there was a tsunami that struck the coast of Thailand. And the source of that disaster was traced to an earthquake in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And according to calculations, though the tsunami struck very quickly after that earthquake, the waves traveled some 2,800 miles. And sadly, very often, people don't trace the upheaval and the unrest and unsettlement in their life to the proper source. The waves of instability in different areas of our life are often coming from the doubts that we have about God and His Word. And James says that when we ask God for the things with indecisive doubts, and that doubt in our heart, that is directly connected to the instability that marks the rest of our life. As I close this morning, James teaches us that we have the great privilege to come to God and ask Him for the wisdom that we need or whatever else we need for our Christian life. Again, read again with me, beginning in verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. What? Count it all joy? Oh, yeah. How come, James? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We're speaking about maturity. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That means not the slightest amount of doubt. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. God lets us know the great privilege we have to come to him and ask for wisdom or whatever else we need. However, he also warns us that when we must ask in faith. Without doubt in our minds as to the truth of God and His Word. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'll close with this little story that I read this week. It's about a little boy who went to the prayer meeting at the church. And he asked the pastor to get the people to pray for his sister. His request was a very simple, simplistic request. He said, I want you to pray that my sister will start reading her Bible. The pastor got up and shared this request with the church. And as soon as they began to pray for this little boy's sister, he got up and left church. Troubled the pastor. And so the next day he called the little boy and he asked him why he left in the middle of prayer meeting. The little boy answered, I wasn't being rude. He said, sir, I wanted to go home and see my sister read the Bible for the first time. The little boy asked, nothing wavering. Once prayer was offered, he said, I'm going home and watch my sister read her Bible. He believed God would answer that prayer. And if we would have the things, or if we'd have that attitude that this little boy had, that God hears and answers prayer, it would revolutionize our Christian life. So often we pray, Lord, if, and we should say, Lord, please. You say, well, I struggle with that. Everyone in this room does. What do? Lord, help my unbelief. Don't overlook it. Help me. Help my unbelief. If we're going to have the things we ask for, we can't let our faith be divided by doubt and unbelief. As I close, may I say this. Let's just take God at His word. Believe who He is. Believe who He claims to be and ask in faith for the things that we need. Nothing wavering. How is it with you today? You wavered? Boy, we all have a tendency to do so. We all have a tendency to do so. We waver. Lord, you know. And if, oh no. Lord, here's my need. Please meet it. And we get up expecting Him to meet it. May God help us. That when we pray, we don't waver. We're talking about moving toward maturity. May God help us to move us along that journey. It's not going to be an easy path. James starts out saying, hey, when you're tried, count it all joy. Count it all joy. How come, James? Because you're going to learn something. It's going to develop patience. And patience is going to provide the things you need. And if you're having a hard time understanding, ask for wisdom. Now, don't ask doubting. You ask in faith, because if you ask doubting, you're not going to get that. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. May God help us to have faith in God, in God's Word, so that we can seek God's work. Let's bow our heads. I cannot answer why God allows things to happen the way they do. But after we go through it, we look back and say, thank you, Lord. I needed that. Certainly wouldn't have chose it myself. But I know you were trying to show me something.